you ever noticed how often clothing is mentioned in the Bible? Even at the end of Jesus' life, we have numerous references to clothing. The picture that you've been looking at for a little while, we have here featured an image of the soldiers who were gambling for the Lord's clothing. Other clothing verses, when we think about the end of the Lord's life, also come to mind. From Matthew 26, 65, the Bible says, "The high priest tore his garments." Focus on clothing. Matthew 27, verse 28. Jesus was stripped of his clothing. And then, of course, he was given the scarlet robe. Matthew 27, verse 31. Jesus was provided a robe. That robe was removed. And then Jesus was given back his regular clothing. Matthew 27, verse 59. Jesus' body was wrapped in something. There was the clean linen cloth. Matthew 28, verse 3. An angel is described in terms of clothing. It had raiment which was white as snow. If you were looking at Mark's account, 16:5, the text would say that it had a white robe. Luke's account, Luke 24, verse 4, says it was dazzling. Luke 23, verse 11, Jesus was clothed in gorgeous apparel before he went to the cross. John 19, verse 23, the soldiers took his, that is, the Lord's garments, and they made four parts. And also they took another piece of clothing, the coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. John 19, verse 24. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my garments among them. Have you ever connected the fact that clothing is even connected to Old Testament prophecy? That's what you find in John 19, 23, and 24. John 20, verse 5. He that is John seeth the linen clothes lying. And then, once we get past all that, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 13, Jesus is clothed with a garment down to the foot and a girt about at the breast with a golden girdle. Today we have a lot of people thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that certainly is an important Bible truth. When you look at today, a day which the religious world often refers to as Easter, you may have some people dressed in new or special clothing. Some dress their best on Easter. Certainly prior to this day, we have advertisers, retailers, sometimes spending a lot of money to promote various sales, some of which are clothing-based. Since today, a lot of minds are focused on clothing and this day of the year and the resurrection, we're going to look at the resurrection from a slightly different standpoint, and that's going to be the subject of clothing. If you've never thought about it, if you've never studied the Bible in this way, one of the ways that God teaches us is through the image of clothing. Most will recall, and we heard this for our scripture reading, most will remember how Adam and Eve, they realized that they needed clothing, so what did they do? Genesis 3, verse 7 says they sewed fig leaves together. That clothing did not have God's approval. He didn't sanction that clothing. Thus, as you continue to read down through Genesis 3, verse 21 says that God designed alternative clothing for them. He made them coats of skin. When we think about clothing, you may be a little different, but generally I find that people think of clothing in terms of price. How much is it going to cost? Someone else might look at clothing in terms of quality. How long is this going to last? Someone else might, as they think about clothing, say the style. The style has to be right for me. Or someone else is perhaps more concerned about fit. There are some people who, when they think about clothing, they are most concerned about comfort. There are individuals who are more concerned about the brand. It may not be comfortable, but if it's the right brand, I'll buy it. And then hopefully some people, when it comes to clothing, are concerned about modesty. When God is involved with clothing, there is something which is much, much deeper. Like many other items in the Bible, clothing can contain some important spiritual lessons. Let's go back to the Old Testament and see what we have from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. The prophet said, "We are all become as one that is unclean, and all our righteousness are as a polluted garment." Now, I find this passage from Isaiah 64 interesting because Isaiah says, "We," not you. As the prophet preaches this message, he said, "We." The prophet Isaiah includes himself. Now, I thought Isaiah was a pretty good guy. Isaiah is that prophet of God. Isaiah is that fellow who, with God's help, wrote a lengthy book. Isaiah is that man who was quoted several times by the Lord. In fact, more than 20 times in the New Testament, we read about the prophet Isaiah. If anyone should go to heaven because he was personally good or personally righteous, if anyone could say, "Look at me and all of the great things that I've done," surely it should have been the prophet Isaiah. That's not what we find. The prophet said, "He." and all the other people who were accountable. He said, we are all become as one that is unclean. Now that statement doesn't sound all that positive or great. But as you look at the middle of the verse, we have here the point about clothing. Isaiah spoke about a polluted garment. There are some garments which are so foul, so disgusting, that we don't want to be anywhere near them. I chose not to use it, but this past week I saw an interesting graphic. It was a graphic of a couple who had turned in for the night. The husband was on his side of the bed and he was smoking a cigarette. By all appearances, the husband seemed like he was pretty content, pretty satisfied. The wife was on the other side of the bed. And the wife was masked in a gas mask. And she apparently was not too pleased with the circumstances for that evening. The mental picture that I just gave, plus what we have here on the screen, helps illustrate Isaiah 64, verse 6. As people go through life, they can feel like they are perfectly fine. Everything is good in my life. They can be like that fella who's puffing on a cigarette in bed. And yet everything is not fine, as we see from the other half of that mental picture. If we were to ask people about their relationship with God, they would say, everything is fine. God and I are good. A person may not have become a Christian, and they think that everything is still okay. Or a person may have become a Christian, and they're not really living the Christian life, but they still feel that everything is perfectly acceptable to God. Then you have those individuals, they are religious, they think about Jesus, they read the Bible some, and sure, they've been reminded that they're not doing things quite like the Bible says, but still, in their minds, everything is just wonderful. Jesus died, he was buried, he was raised, he loves everybody, and everything is just dandy. If we don't look very, very carefully at Isaiah 64, verse 6, we're going to miss something that's very, very important. Notice what's highlighted in red now. We are all become as one that is unclean, and all our righteousness. All our righteousness. When we total it up, it's like a polluted garment. If we look at our life, maybe we've been alive for a little while, maybe we think that we've lived for a good long time. If we look back over our life and we look at all the righteous deeds that we've done, all the good things, everything that we would say, oh, I'm a good person for all these reasons. How many good deeds have we done? Dozens? Hundreds? Thousands? Maybe tens of thousands of good deeds we have done within our lifetime. Or before we die, we will have filled our bucket up with all kinds of good deeds. And Isaiah says it doesn't matter how big your bucket is. It doesn't matter how large your bucket is. It doesn't matter if you have dump truck after dump truck load of good deeds. He said at the end of the day, they're all nothing better, nothing more than a polluted garment. Good deeds do not provide us with the right spiritual clothing. Adam and Eve had to learn that lesson a long time ago in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. They provided their clothing, and God teaches them a spiritual lesson. That clothing that you're providing, that clothing that you're coming to me with, God says it's not going to work. You need my clothing. Spiritually, you need my righteousness. It is certainly true that without Jesus' resurrection, there is not a single person who could be saved from sin. But it's also just as true that if we don't have this right spiritual clothing, the resurrection of Christ means absolutely nothing. It will not benefit us in the least. Now, if you're starting to think in terms of clothing, you might be thinking, I'm kind of thinking now, somewhere in the life of Christ, Jesus talked about this guy in clothing, and that's over in Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 22, starting with verse 9 and going down through verse 13 in just a minute, but here's a little bit of the context. In the first chapter, or the first verse of this chapter, Matthew 22, verse 1, we are told that Jesus was giving some parables. In Matthew 22 and verse 2, we have the subject, or the focus of the parable. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven. If we want to be among the saved, we must be part of heaven's kingdom. And in Matthew 22, as Jesus talks about heaven's kingdom, he compares it to a king who made a marriage feast for a son. As you start looking through the early part of Matthew 22, you find that the king had various people invited, and many of those people didn't want to come. Picking up now with verse 9. Go ye therefore unto the partings of the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage feast. And those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was filled with guests. Verse 11. But when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there was a man who had not on a wedding garment. Oh, he wasn't naked. He had clothing. He just didn't have the right attire. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king saith to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and cast him out into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Jesus himself used clothing to illustrate and help us understand the kingdom of heaven. If we are going to be among the saved, if we are going to spend eternity with God in heaven, it is because we have the right spiritual clothing in this life. There's some people, as we look around, you find that they are dressed in very fine clothing. You find, as you look at some other individuals, they are dressed in very poor clothing, vile clothing. And Jesus and his apostles made note of that many years ago. In fact, James, about 2,000 years ago, in James chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, he said, you might have in your assembly someone come in and they wear fine clothing. He said, you might have someone else who comes into the assembly and they wear that poor, they wear that vile clothing. The amount of money we spend or are able to spend on clothing will have no bearing on whether or not we're saved or lost. Clothing is used not to talk about so much the external part, but clothing, as God often talks about it, is used to picture, to depict, to describe the internal part of who we are. Do you realize that some of the best dressed people in life will spend eternity in hell? That's true. And we know that's true because of a little story Jesus gave in Luke chapter 16. Remember that man, the rich man and Lazarus? In Luke 16 verse 19, the Bible says there was a fellow, he was dressed in purple and not just linen. He was dressed in purple and he was dressed in fine linen. He had money. He had access to expensive clothing. He wore expensive clothing. And yet, what will be the eternal fate for this man? He left all the nice clothing behind and he's lost. There's nothing wrong with looking nice. If you dressed up especially nice today, good for you. That's a good habit to have. But the dress that we're looking at today is not what is on the outside. It's not what people can see as they instantly look at us. Isaiah long ago said that our best goodness, if we total it all up, it's no better than a stinky cloth. It's no better than a foul rag. We can dress ourselves up to the hilt. We can have the best shoes and the best socks and the finest clothing and jewelry, and we can look like we are $1 million. But God says, let me tell you about clothing. What really counts is on the inside. We need the right garment, Matthew 22, or the end result is going to be cast out into the place of fire. We have to have the right clothing. And the Bible tells us how to get it. To get the right clothing, the Bible says we first have to get rid of the bad clothing. As you look here, the lady, I'm assuming that she's going to get the garment into the washing machine at some point, but she realizes that clothing has to be cleaned. The stench has to be removed. And that's exactly what the Bible says. Do you remember from Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, the Colossians were told that they had put off the old man. They'd taken that dirty, foul, smelly, nasty clothing. And Paul said, you got rid of it. That's the right way to live. To the Romans, in Romans 6, verse 6, Paul described that old clothing in this way. He said, you have crucified the old man. You got rid of that nasty clothing. And then to the Ephesians, Paul makes the same point. Same message, different group. Ephesians 4:22 says that former manner of life, those old terrible clothes, he said you got rid of them. Before becoming a Christian, we have some ways, we have some habits, which are contrary to the way of the gospel. And God compares that old way of life to the filthiest, the nastiest, the worst kind of clothing that we can imagine. We've got to have new clothing if we want to go to heaven. We've got to have, to use the language of Matthew chapter 22, the wedding garment. And the wedding garment is provided by Christ. Unlike Adam and Eve, we don't get to design the clothing. They tried and God said no. Some today, when it comes to salvation, they say, we want to design, we want to provide our own spiritual clothing. And God, this is our righteousness, this is going to be our religion, and you're going to accept that. And God says no. I have designed the wedding garment. And God says, you take it and be saved, or you reject it and be lost. How many of us have seen a bride and groom which look like this? Can you imagine you've shown up to a wedding and here comes the bride, there's the music, and the groom walks out from the little area and there they are, plastered, covered in mud. I dare say that if we went to a wedding and we saw a picture such as this, we would never forget that wedding. Probably make the front page of the local paper. This image would be unheard of in the physical realm. But you know, in the spiritual realm, this is oftentimes exactly what people want. There are individuals who want to live in the mud and the muck of sin and filth, and with that dirty spiritual clothing say, we are a friend of Jesus. The Lord says, no. I'll meet you in the mud and muck to pull you out, to clean you up. But I'm not going to be in fellowship with you in that environment. We need the right clothing. And that is perhaps why the Bible uses words like washed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul told the Corinthians they had been washed. The Hebrew writer, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, the same image, he said that those Christians had been washed. The Apostle John, in a book which is not often studied, also spoke about being washed. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, the Apostle said, and I say unto him, my Lord thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they that have come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Today people are thinking about the resurrection, and thank God for that. But the real value of the resurrection is that we can have clean spiritual clothing. That wedding garment provided by God. Our spiritual garments can be white as snow by obeying Jesus. In fact, in some translations of Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, the Bible says not put on, but some translations say you have clothed yourself with Christ. Our wedding garment is Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our righteousness, personal goodness, will always fail. Isaiah made that clear so many years ago, and it's still true. I'm pretty sure there are some excellent sermons being preached on the resurrection of Christ this morning. But the best sermons on the resurrection may be absolutely useless tomorrow. You see, just hearing about the resurrection is not enough. The only thing that gives the resurrection power for us is if we're willing to have the right kind of clothing. That's why in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Paul says, you walk in the newness of life. You've changed your clothes, spiritually speaking. We need those new clothes so we are like that beautiful, radiant bride that's coming down the aisle. Have we washed our robe in the blood of the Lamb? Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And if we have, is our robe continually cleaned? Because we're walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The invitation song which has been selected has some important words for us to consider this day. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? So many people want to look good on the inside. So many people would not be caught dead anytime, even in the backyard if they live in a farm, if they don't look good. Don't be a well-dressed person who goes to hell. Make sure that you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That soul-cleansing power, it's available to each one, regardless of what we've done. And that path, we've hinted at it, faith, repentance, confession, and finally the last step. Immersion, baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We begin to walk in the newness of life. We have that new spiritual garment. And when we slip and fall, we repent, we acknowledge the transgressions, and God allows that spiritual garment, the new life, to stay spiritually pure. Will we ensure that we're walking in the right way and that our spiritual garment is spotless day in and day out? If we can help you become a Christian or help strengthen you as a child of God, the power of the Lamb, His blood, is available to you. And that's the invitation that we extend to you now as we stand and sing the selected song.